Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you May 25th, Friday, the year 2007, but on God's calendar, it's Sivan 8, and it's just one day after what we've been talking about all this week, the Feast of Shavuot or the Feast of Pentecost. We've been studying God's moed. God has a redemptive calendar. He moves on his moeds. I'm quite sure that the return of the Lord will be on one of these moeds. I'm not saying which one, but God's always moved by pattern. God moves by pattern. And he gave us in Leviticus 23 a great redemptive calendar. That's God's sacred calendar. The first date on it is the first feast that they're supposed to come up, the Jews were to come up, is Passover. From the date in the Passover week when they wave the first fruits, the Jews were to begin counting, God told them so in Leviticus 23, 50 days, actually 7 weeks plus one, and weeks in Hebrew, Shavuah, so seven Shavuot. It's called the Feast of Shavuot. But when the Bible was translated into Greek, of course the Greek for 50 came out, Pentecost. And so we have been talking about the Feast of Pentecost. I'm going to try to keep you up this year because I do feel it's a prophetic year. Remember that we talked about how it was 40 years ago, 1967, that the Jews got back Jerusalem, which Jesus had prophesied. It's a very prophetic year this year. And so I'm going to be coming to you a lot on the radio broadcast, just all as nearly alive as I can, to get things into you as we watch this year in the light of Bible prophecy. Now, three feasts of the feet. That's what the Jews call them, feasts of the legs, feasts of the feet. Three times, that's what the Bible calls them. They had to go up before the Father in the city where he placed his name. Eventually that proved out to be Jerusalem. Each of these three feasts are a harvest feast. The first one is the barley harvest, Passover. Pentecost is the wheat harvest. Over in the fall, you have the harvest of the vines, of the grapes, and of the olives. Each of them had a historic happening. Now, the historic happening for Passover was they came out of Egypt and they killed the Passover lamb. Then the historic happening for the Feast of Pentecost was this one. And we're reading Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Verse 9, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, and that's going to be just yesterday, on our calendar today. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the shofar sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered by a voice. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. Chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of bondage, out of the house of bondage, out of the house of Egypt, the house of bondage. And here comes what we call the first of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Actually, this says in the Hebrew, you shall not mention the name of anyone else's God before my face. You shall not make any graven images or bow down to them. I am a jealous God. And then he gives the other commandments. You might take note that in verse 13, it does not say in the Hebrew, thou shalt not kill, but it says, thou shalt not murder. And there begins to come to earth from heaven the Word of God. Oh, how thankful I am. Every day I read my Bible, and most days I praise Him that He put down on paper. Eventually it came on paper, and the printing press made it available to us. And I'm glad I live in the time when it's available. The Word of God, God's thoughts. We can think them after Him. What God said is truth, and what God said is right, no matter what the world says. And that day when He finished with, thou shalt not covet. Then in verse 18, all the peoples saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. But the people, verse 21, stood afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now you're going to understand more of what Paul wrote to the church in 2 Corinthians 3. And we shall begin with verse 5. It's not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He's talking about his own ministry. He's defending his own ministry. Someone has questioned it. But our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. If the ministration of death was written and engraven in stones was glorious. I'm going to read that to you again. If the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? They have been criticizing Paul's ministry and the glory of it. And Paul says to them, if the ministration of the Word, when we receive the Word, was glorious, and it was glorious there on that mountain when Moses had to even hide his face and it was written in stones, if the ministration of that was glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be glorious? You see, Paul knew that they both came on the same day. The Word came at that mountain, and the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. If when the Word began to come, that was glorious, how shall not when the Spirit came be rather glorious? We always say the Word and the Spirit agree, but I think we need to know. They came on the same day. They are so much in agreement. They came on the same day. And when Paul's ministry with the Spirit is criticized, he answers it in this way. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 3, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelled. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. And he speaks of surpassing glories. I wanted you to know that the Spirit of God came on the same day that the Word of God began to come to us. The Ten Commandments began to come to us. That's such an amazing thing to me, that the Holy Spirit and the Word were given on the same day. We have celebrated this week the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit. I remember, you know, it's been 40 years ago that I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, for I received it in April. I received it that same year that Jerusalem came back into the hands of the Jews. It's really special to me. I can remember I had already been born again about 20 years at that time. I was born again as a child. But I remember that day 40 years ago, when Brother Hagin laid his hands on me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Oh, I had words to pray like I'd never had to pray before. The day was springtime, for it was the time of Passover, the time of even moving into Pentecost. It was that time of the year that it originally came. And when I saw the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, I received the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. You can receive this very day. If you have already received, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. For we are told that as we pray in the Holy Spirit, that we have enlightenment, that we see things. This Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He's the promise of the Father, and He came to us to show us things to come. How thankful we are to God for this Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, who according to John chapter 14, I love to read John chapter 14, when Jesus began to talk about this Holy Spirit who was coming. And He said He's going to lead you into all truth. We're going to trust Him to lead us into all truth this year as we look at Bible prophecy in the light of what's happening in this amazing 40th year. I want to invite you back next week when we will come again on Monday. And the way we're doing it on our format right now, we'll see how this works for a while, is on Monday that I give you, as alive as I can, I give you an update on what's happening in Bible prophecy in the light of the Scriptures. In the light of the Scriptures, in the light of Bible prophecy. And then starting next week, we are going to go into Jerusalem. This is the 40th year. It's come back by the prophecies of the Word of God back into the hands of the Jews. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and what it means. You be watching the news, too, to see what people are saying about Jerusalem, for that counts. Now, as I'm speaking to you, the church, there are three groups of peoples that the Bible directs prophecies to, directs words to: the Jews, the nations, and the church. 1 Corinthians 10:32. And to the church, He's told us that we are seated with Him in the heavenlies, where we are to exercise authority over all principality, powers, might, dominions, rules, and authority. And we want to make to our radio audience, because we're gauging how many of you are listening out there this week. If you don't want the book, just call us anyway and say, I'm listening. We need to know. So call us and order the book. Take it. It's yours for a special radio price of $7. If you can include an offering above that, you'll receive a receipt for it, and we'll be so ever so grateful that you'll help us stay on the air. We think it's very important. You order the book, take it, it's yours, by Lester Sumrall at 1-800-972-3447. Also, I do wish you could be with us August 14 through 17 when we begin another school of eschatology. Yes, we're going to be looking at things in that's what eschatology means, a study of the last things of this age. Oh, they're happening so quickly before us in Iran. And did you know the book of Ezekiel has something to say about Iran? We're going to key out of the book of Ezekiel, but we look at all the prophets. Call us and enroll or go online, billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until next week.